This podcast is intended to motivate, educate, support, and inspire you on your journey towards inner peace. We are not medical professionals, and we do not offer any medical advice. If you are suffering from a psychological or medical condition, please seek the advice of a licensed medical professional.
Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to an episode of A Witch, A Mystic, and A Feminist, where, like it or not, we are coming up against the holidays. And so with that, we have asked Morgan Stark to come back, and she has graciously agreed. So welcome back, Morgan.
Thank you.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
Hi, Morgan.
And, you know, there's lots to talk about for the holidays. So let's just jump in. Spiritual aspects of the holidays. There's a lot of those. And then I know we were also going to talk a little bit about maybe some Yuletide magic. So I don't know where you want to start, but
yeah. So, well, let's start with basically what you just said there, whether we like it or not, the holidays are coming.
Yes. Yeah.
So everybody has a completely different perspective on the holiday time. You know, some people, it's not a nostalgic, feel good, you know, thing. It's filled with a lot of darkness, loneliness. You know, maybe they've experienced trauma at that time of year. Maybe they, you know, all the people they would be celebrating with aren't around or they've passed on. Also, people suffering with like poverty and just, you know, there's a lot of areas on this planet where like there are families who are not going to have the ideal holiday season.
Yeah.
So it's important to cultivate, compassion and kind of like a broader perspective, because it's so easy to just get the tunnel vision and be like in your to-do list and the stress of making events and people's expectations and all this stuff. And that's so against the cycle of what's trying to happen naturally. Nature is encouraging people to slow down. It's encouraging us to go inward. And that's why it is such a beautiful time to gather and to connect with loved ones, just to harness like what warmth and resources we have and just celebrate, you know, life and the light that there is. So, yeah, I guess that sort of end of that little.
You make several good points in there, right? Like,
I wanted to definitely agree. I mean, all of that you said is absolutely true. I mean, it can be a very sad time and a very joyous time. And I think, or at least our family, not that there were a lot of positives that came out of COVID, because it was a very, you know, dark time for everyone. But one of the things that came out for us is that we did learn, as we've talked about before, stepping back a little bit. And when it came to the holidays and dealing with COVID, we live in Las Vegas. The majority of our family lives in Northern California. So it stopped us from traveling. It actually gave us the opportunity to be home with us for the first time. And it was like, wow, this is what like the feeling of Christmas is supposed to be. I want to be around my family and everything, but it gets very, like you said, stressful. All the obligations, all the sense of I have to do this, 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 and this, not only to make everyone else happy, but, you know, supposedly my family happy too. So it can be very stressful. And I think that helped us center a little bit more back on what it should be like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The heart of it.
Yeah.
Like the original intention of the yes. holy day.
Yeah. And, you know, we do miss seeing everyone as we used to, but even when we lived back home where everyone was, it was a very stressful time. So it is important, like you said, to kind of step back and recognize what the core meaning is supposed to be, you know, and that just really hit me because it has changed in the last few years for us being since COVID. So we've adjusted. We've adjusted.
Yeah. And then also to realize that, it, like you said, it's not a happy time for everybody, right? It's not a joyous time for everybody. So expecting everyone to feel similar joy or similar feelings towards the holidays, like maybe just kind of adjust that a little bit in yourself, like you said, and have compassion for people who maybe these times are the worst of the year, right? So they're not looking forward to anything. Yeah. They're not like, yay, Christmas songs. So Yeah.
I don't know if I ever say yay Christmas songs. Well,
neither do I, but there are some people out there.
The Mariah Carey songs back all the time. Again. Again.
It's her time for royalties, yeah, exactly. Jamie. It's her time to make money.
But you also discussed some inner work that during this time we should be going inward. What type of inner work should we be practicing during the holidays?
So it's a really great time to kind of reflect back on the year, to slow down, do some journaling. And those journaling prompts can be like, what things am I really stoked about that I accomplished this year? What did I want to accomplish that I didn't? What does darkness mean to me? You know, so many people have a negative connotation with darkness, but it's dark in the womb. It's dark in the chrysalis. It's dark in space, in the universe. You know, there's so much potential for healing and renewal and rejuvenation. And that's really a lot of people in their lives are just going so fast and doing. And we forget completely about the being aspect. And so this is the best thing to do is just slow down and allow all of your feelings and thoughts and everything to kind of catch up with you, because you're sort of trying to like outrun mm-hmm. it most of the time. And just the nature of this time, you're reflecting not just on the past year, but your whole life. And, you know, the people who have been here to celebrate this time with you and the people who haven't, and then, you know, realizing not to take for granted the people who are still around, and not to take for granted your own time that you have, realizing the finiteness of it, and really just like simplifying your life, you know, unplugging all your devices, lighting some candles, you know, doing this journal work by candlelight and reflecting on history. Historically, this time, there wasn't a ton of resources. People would get sick, people would die, elderly and children oftentimes wouldn't make it through the winter, you know, so just gratitude practices for the things that you have, for having a warm bed to sleep in. And maybe you're lucky to have a fire in your house and, you know, a family and pets, and like it's cozy. And so leaning into, you know, that's a great practice too, is just decking the halls, you know, bringing that festivity, because it can get kind of like gloomy. And so bringing some sparkle inside and some life. And that's the idea of like bringing the Christmas tree inside and decorating it, and the tradition of a lot of the things that we see nowadays, like the red balls or whatever that signified apples back in the day. Like people didn't have a lot of money for mm-hmm. a bunch of things to put on the tree. So they would go out and make strings of acorns or cranberries or whatever, you know, like hang beautiful things that they found mm-hmm. in nature. Sorry, I feel like I'm getting off of the question of the inner work.
That's okay. We're good.
Because there's just so much that you can do, you know,
right.
to weave in some ritual and some intention into this time of the year. But yeah, really exploring your shadows and your emotions and the things that you harbor in your heart, and things that are just kind of heavy and sticky and icky that you might want to release, you know, going into the new year. You know, for me personally, my new year was back on Halloween.
Okay.
I kind of did all that releasing the death and the rebirth stuff then. But for people in general, this is a great time to mm-hmm. be doing that, you know, and like, where can I bring more light into this darkness that's inside of me? Because it gets darkest before the dawn. It's the longest right. night. But then the days gradually get longer, but it's also just the beginning of winter. Mm-hmm. And so how are you going to use this hibernation time as a way to like rest and rejuvenate and kind of transform mm-hmm. internally?
And it seems like yeah. the whole holiday period, right? Kind of starts from not necessarily mm-hmm. the traditional sense of why this country celebrates Thanksgiving, but it starts with Thanksgiving and moves into Christmas and then through the new year. So, you know, giving thanks, being grateful, reflecting, rejuvenating, and sitting in the current state of your life. And like you said, looking back on the last year and then starting anew. So it's kind of this full cycle of the year, if you will, in almost like what, a month and a half mm-hmm. or something, almost 2 months. So
yeah,
it is a
yeah.
good opportunity to really yeah. sit in it and look at, you know, this last year and reflection and being grateful and giving back. And being with family and surrounding yourself. I mean, and then you start fresh. You know, what are your intentions for the new year? I like that.
I've also heard that the new year isn't the best time to like start fresh. Like it's kind of just a generic date for us, right? But really, we should wait because we're still in that hibernation kind of, you know, winter.
Exactly. There's this pressure just to continue doing, and we forget about the being aspect. Mm-hmm. And so you have to allow yourself to like fully like rest and integrate all of those intentions. And you can start doing some things within your routine to like kind of be planting the seeds and like growing the seedlings of this new, you know, behavior pattern. But a lot of people don't end up actually following through with their New Year's resolutions. They're like, go, go, go hard for like a week on it. And then like, it's gone,
right?
Completely forgotten. It's not integrated. It's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year was the first year I did not make New Year's resolutions, and it worked out much better for me.
Much better. I mean, every day you wake up is a new day.
Right.
It's the first day of the rest of your life. Yep. You can have a new Year's resolution any day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
but it's like,
it's just an arbitrary date. It,
very true. It's just like when you start a diet or exercise regimen, and you're like, I'm going to start on Monday. Or, you know, like, why does it have to be Monday? It could be today. Like, just go out and do it. Don't waste time. Yeah. It's fine.
So you were stating that you started your renewal at Halloween, basically. And that was with Samhain. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
And so then in December, there is the winter solstice or Yule, correct? Can you describe that or explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So before we had like calendars and all this stuff, we used the quarters of the year to track time. And like, it was all based on like the placement of the sun in the sky. And so the solstice is, both the solstices, those are cross quarter times of the year. And the summer solstice, that's the longest day. Right. And then days start getting darker. And then the winter solstice is the longest night. So the metaphorically, we're kind of, and literally, you know, like going into the darkness and then coming back out and carrying the light with us as we go. It brings new hope. Like, yes, we are still just in the beginning of winter, but the light is returning. Mm-hmm. And every day we can measure that there's more and more light. And soon the warmth will come and the sun will be helping grow our seeds that we're planting in the springtime. It just kind of brings hope, just a feeling of hope. Yeah.
Are there any rituals that you do during that time, during the winter solstice?
Yeah. So it's really fun to, gather with friends and family. And, you know, like I have like a witchy crew up in Vermont that when I go back and visit home, we always go out into the White Mountains and there's a troll cave there. And we like to decorate the trees with like citrus slices and cranberries and popcorn. And, you know, because the little critters outside, you know, they have a hard time in the winter as well. Right. So it's nice to kind of give to them and decorate the forest and light a fire and maybe do some divination drawing of cards for, you know, what is the things that I should be reflecting on going into this new year, or even doing divination on, you know, what potentially the next year looks like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where your focus should be. And in doing the shadow work aspect as well, this isn't so much with like the groups, but just reflecting backwards on your year and like, where have I not been aligned with my intentions? Mm-hmm. And, you know, giving yourself credit for all the things that you have done, but also holding yourself accountable for the things that you haven't and the room for improvement. And also just cleaning your house is a really great way, because you're getting out the dust and the cobwebs and, making room for the new stuff that's coming in. It's sort of a similar feeling to spring, but it's a little more enclosed. Okay. You know, in spring, we're opening the doors and the windows and every, you know, the breeze is coming through. And in the winter, you're still very contained.
Yeah.
So it's nice to, you know, decorate and clean up and spruce up and set little like altars and stuff for the space that you're going to be within for the next, you know, few months of winter. I mean, that's and like a Christmas tree, just like the, yeah, all the things that you do,
yeah,
you know?
I didn't actually realize that the, maybe because I was brought up in a Christian background, but like, I didn't realize that the Christmas, mm-hmm, tree or the red bulbs had any, like, any meaning. I just kind of thought it was part of Christmas, right? And like, you just do it because it makes your house pretty and more festive. Yeah. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So the colors, the green and the red, and sometimes you'll, mm-hmm, see gold as well. Mm-hmm. You know, green is the only color you see with the evergreen, yeah, trees, you know, and the red, oftentimes like staghorn sumac, the berries, a lot of these have like a lot of medicinal qualities. Red is the blood, life force. You know, it signifies like virility. A lot of the fruits that are in season, like pomegranates, figs, these are all like fertility and health and abundance. Apples, you know, they were just in season, squashes, all that stuff. Like those are very sacred things because they're going to help you get through the winter.
Right.
And then the green, that's like life, growth, health, wealth, you know, and so just using these colors, it holds this energy of, you know, even though outside it's a frozen Arctic tundra and it appears to be death all around, there's so much life.
Yeah.
And holding that intention and just kind of like setting a cozy container for your house, like the wreaths on the front doors, those are oftentimes like protection, mm-hmm, you know, inviting happiness, protection, abundance, and health into the home. You know,
that
people sometimes will do like the cinnamon broom thing.
Yes.
Like cinnamon is a very classic like Christmas thing, as well as cloves. And all of these things are really, really good for your health. Also metaphysically, they quicken your magic. They're also very warming, which is good for, you know, the cold times.
Yeah.
And yeah, everything that there is, like as far as like the Christian viewpoint of Christmas,
right,
you know, the sun. There's certain like belief systems that will liken the sun to Christ. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's the return of Christ. So it's like the rebirth of the sun.
Okay.
And so the Christmas tree is just a way to help bring that sunlight and, you know, life, mm-hmm, and, you know, it just kind of keeps your hopes alive, remembering like, this is a temporary thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how you're explaining the spiritual or witchy aspects of the holidays to what our modern traditions are now, because I don't think a lot of people really understand. I know for me, you know, it's like, okay, well, this is a time where we put a tree in the house and, you know, we buy a bunch of presents for everyone and no one's grateful for, mm-hmm, the shit that they get and, yeah, you know, kind of thing. You know, you're like stressed out about, I need to find this perfect present, yep, for this one specific, mm-hmm, person. And that's kind of like how, for me, and this was, you know, the last few years, how I would see the holidays. It's like, this is the most stressful time of, mm-hmm, year versus, you know, we're bringing nature into the home and we have the red balls because of the fruit and stuff like that. Like it just really, mm-hmm, really puts things more into perspective, mm-hmm, yeah, of the traditions from then to now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing, Marlena, as you were talking about it. And we've tried very hard, attempted to be more aware of like, okay, what is Christmas really supposed to be about? And again, I think COVID really shut us down and made us look at that. But just like you, Marlena, I stress so much about Christmas and gift buying, and I've just kind of have given up, to be honest. I'm like, okay, kids, you know, like one thing, one. And then you get stocking, right, stuffers, like, you know, just to be fun. And, but with adults, it's like, you know, your gift is this time right here. This is what we get.
Yeah. Me.
And, but then I always, then you get the sense of like, oh my God, they got me something and I feel bad that I didn't. So it's like all that pressure, right? When, mm-hmm, the whole nature of the time is supposed to be about being with others. So yeah, I get that. And I really like the, what these things are supposed to mean in our house, other than just checking, yeah, off the box that you did it because you're supposed to,
yeah,
right? You're supposed to have all these things, but I, yeah, think that's beautiful.
Yeah. There can be intention, mm-hmm, woven into everything,
yeah,
you know, everyday magic.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do the, you were talking about like the cloves and cinnamon. I'll do the simmer pots. I'll just get a pot out on my stove and put in a bunch of, my husband's like, you just used all my cinnamon sticks. I'm like, well, go buy some more. I don't know what to tell you. Like, they were there, so I used them. Yeah. It's like, okay. And I'm like, oh, and your anise and your cloves, those might be gone too. And he's like, oh my God. My husband loves to cook, so we have all the things. And then when I use them for my intentions, he's like, what are you doing? Go buy your own cinnamon sticks. Stop it. Leave me alone.
Can you discuss the importance of connecting with nature and nature's cycles during the solstice?
Yes, absolutely. Our bodies and our nervous systems are intrinsically
for you, but that's not going to happen. So
it's like interconnected with the energy of the earth. And so like all the pressure of the holidays and all that stuff, you're going against what nature is trying to tell you. That's why there's so much of a state of stress in your nervous system and your mind, in your heart. In embracing nature's cycles, it's just time to go inward. You know, it's time for that hibernation, and it's good to have the celebration, the connection with people. But then, you know, it's usually like a little bit longer that you'll go before seeing people. People start to come out in the spring again, okay. You know,
yeah.
I guess depending on the area that you live in, the culture can shift surrounding that. But where I'm from in Vermont, it's normal to like not see people for like 6 months in the wintertime.
Really?
You know, like everybody just kind of goes inward, it just slowing down. Being from a small town, like people have to get their firewood, and we got to be like waking up but periodically through the night and like stoking the fire. And it just kind of like, it pulls you into like what matters, you know?
You're kind of forced to, right?
Yeah.
You know, right. Kind of like, and not everybody is in a circumstance where they would be encouraged to do that. You know, for me personally, my mind, my heart, my body functions much better if I, you know, follow those cycles. And I don't like the cold. I'm not like a big skier or snowboarder. You know, some people really have a great time going out and building snowmen. And I love being in nature, but I've boned a lot by putting on the snow pants and like all the layers and everything. You know? There's always a fire and like, you know.
Same.
So it's, it can be very cleansing. Like if you think about, you know, the ferocity of the wind and the snow creates this like this pattern, this insulation. It's like protective, and you know, it sparkles in the moonlight. And so like, even though there's like all kind of this, like everything feels frozen and dead, there's still the glimmers, you know, and appreciating the slowness, because things are going to quicken soon enough, you know? And so it's just so important to do that. And I think it was Jamie, you mentioned like feeling, this is a little off the nature subject, but getting in the mode of like receiving. Like, yeah, sure, it's about giving, but also we need to be able to receive. So many of us, especially moms, I mean, has really struggled. Like there's this huge guilt complex about like taking up space and having needs and like being, you know, in receiving mode instead of constantly being in service. And so like, for moms, especially, you know, parents, it just people who are caretakers in general, to give some of that back to themselves, you know, give yourself permission to receive and to slow down and to not meet all those demands, you know, let's start a new culture rather that's like away from this consumerism, which is not connected to nature at all.
No.
You know, people are so stressed out, like, oh, I'll just get some plastic stuff off Amazon. It's cheaper, you know. Go to your local craft fair or make something, you know, even just like a tea blend or an orange with some cloves in it. Like you were thinking of that person the entire time that you were making it, you know, that is like the ultimate gift of love. And also just your presence is your present enough, you know? And people just really need to recognize, like, I mean, your kids wouldn't be pissed off that you didn't, like, imagine them not having you instead of just not having the thing that you were supposed to buy them. You know, I just feel like in general, there needs to be a shift in the culture and the mindset surrounding the holidays and the way we approach it, because it's not good for us. It's not good for the planet. Right. You know, what maybe not, I don't want to generalize, not everybody practices in those ways, but a lot of us do have room for improvement.
Yeah.
You know,
do we know where or when and even why the, you know, we buy presents at Christmas. I'm like, it just, you know, in doing research about the holiday, it's like, where did this, we have to buy, you know, spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to make everybody happy, come into play?
Well, well, we could just go back to, you know, ancient times, when Christ was born and the wise men came bearing gifts. And the gifts that they brought were very sacred. It was like resins that are sacred, like myrrh and frankincense. And I can't remember all the gifts, but, but it was like pieces of nature that are also sacred within, you know, spirituality.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's like a bit of what inspired it. But there's also like the consumeristic society that we live in, right, you know, in these ideas of like playing off of people's emotions and nostalgia and then building all these expectations. And it's this whole like cultural thing.
Yeah.
Like it's really a construct that was derived by the powers that were to keep us all kind of stuck in this rat race and this illusion and in a state of stress and like, I'm just going to spend the money, like, you know, and, so it's actually like a huge act of rebellion, you know, to go back to taking care of yourself and the basics and reusing things from last year or regifting or getting gifts from the thrift store or, you know, like not going to the big box stores and not supporting that. Of course, like there's plenty of people who are still going to do that, but you are like, everything is energy, especially money. And every dollar you spend, you are intentionally giving your energy to that thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that you give your energy to, they're just going to be a drain. They don't actually really give you back anything.
Yeah.
But in like working with nature, like nature is going to support you. The universe is going to support you and bring you more abundance and more good feelings and motivation and inspiration and alignment if you are acting in a way that is aligned with that.
Yeah.
You know, because so oftentimes, you know, what we're doing is kind of opposite of what the intention is.
Yeah.
It's good intentions, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So
ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, we touched on Thanksgiving a little bit and the celebration of it. But one of the things that I do like about Thanksgiving and not like, you know, that we're celebrating the massacre of Indigenous people, but the gathering together, it's basically Christmas without presents. Where, you know, family gathers and friends gather. And, you know, like in my home, everybody brings something, you know, and so we're sitting there sharing and spending time together. And so I love that aspect and, you know, really wish it. And at the same time, you know, I could make this happen since, you know, I have my own family and host my own Christmas kind of thing. But, you know, where there are no presents, it is just family getting together versus, you know, going out and spending, you know, every last dime and then working all year again to be able to have all this money to be able to, you know, because again, it is, you know, just a circle, a vicious circle, you know, and that's my rant.
Yeah.
And that's what I got.
No, I mean, my kids, like we try to, and I get off track, right? Because I get sucked back into it, but it is a conversation of less things and more experiences. So we're gonna spend less money on things, and I'm happy to spend money on experiences, right? Like doing things, like experiencing the world. And this Christmas is
I love that.
Yeah. So this Christmas is one of those Christmases, and I get tired, I just get burnt out, and I'm like, I'm done. Like your Christmas last year was insane. Like I freaked out that you wouldn't have enough presents, and then I'm looking and you haven't even opened half the shit that's under, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, no, we're not doing that again. Like we're good. So we're switching gears here. And, You know, and they were very open to it. Like, they were like, okay, let's, yeah, okay. And I was surprised because they're children.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's something that feeds my soul, because sometimes people give presents in lieu of real connection. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like. Mm-hmm. And that's not what I want. And that's not what I want to cultivate. And so sometimes when I'm giving gifts, I feel like we haven't connected, but I'm still we haven't connected in like 8 months, right? Like, and I'm giving you a gift. I'm out of sync with you. Like, I'm out of sort. We're not, you know, on the same timeline right now. And I miss that, but here's a gift. And, right. And so I would rather just, let's spend some time together. Mm-hmm. Let's mm-hmm. go grab a coffee, or just come over, sit on my couch and we'll talk, you know, and like, let's connect and have some, you know, have some really good conversation. So yeah, so that's really big for me, and that's what feeds my soul. So unfortunately, my whole family is going along with it this year, but we'll see. I think it's going to pan out really well for all of us, and we're gonna be able to get back to like the connection. Yep.
Well, I love that, because Vince and I, we don't buy each other presents anymore. We, at Christmas time, basically, we're like, okay, where do we want to go this year? Mm-hmm. Like last year, it was like, okay, where do you want to go? Bali or Thailand? So we ended up going to Thailand. So Alexis was like, you can't leave me this year. I want to join in on this vacation. So Christmas time, we're basically going to be like, okay, where do we want to go? And, mm-hmm. you know, I'll give two or three options and we'll figure out where we want to go. And, you know, me and my mom, we do the same thing where, you know, our presents to each other are experiences. We go mm-hmm. to plays together, or, you know, we go on vacations together and just have that time. And so it's like, okay, at Christmas time, it's like, okay, we're going to do this later in the year.
Later. Yeah. Later in the year. But
this is where the money is going, basically. You know, and I'd rather spend money on that, on experiences as well.
So Marlena, you mentioned Thanksgiving and just the aspect of how that's kind of like Christmas without the presents, and it's kind of like almost nicer because it's a little, I mean, there is a little bit of that stress there, but we're just like feasting and we're gathering and we're just having a good time, and everybody's like, I don't know if you're into football, but a lot of times there's a football game on.
Yes, I am into football, and it is on.
That's a great way. That's a great way that you can also incorporate some ritual and involve people who are no longer with us anymore. Mm-hmm. There's something called a spirit dinner or a dumb dinner. And you make spirit plates for the people who are not, you know, with you. And you sit and you have dinner, you know, in silence. So you're able to use your meat suit that you still have, and they're there in spirit, and those offerings can then be, you know, put outside for the wildlife or whatever, but just setting a place for them at the table is a really powerful exercise.
I love that. That's beautiful. That's the first time I've heard of it.
I know, me too. I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds fabulous. I'm going to do that. That's beautiful. So are there any cautionary considerations or common misconceptions about some of these practices during the holidays?
Misconceptions. I don't know about that. I mean, cautions, don't burn your house down. Lighting your Yule log or anything.
Or deep frying your turkey.
Yeah. Only you can prevent forest fires. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Don't light your turkey on fire. You know, words of caution is, I guess, just don't let the darkness overcome you. You know, this time of year, there's a lot of people, you know, the rates of people bringing about the end of their experience mm-hmm. are very high. Mm-hmm. It's also a time where the veil is really thin. And so people in general, they, like, a lot of people lose people around Christmas time, even just to like natural means, because it is such a perfect time for a soul to be leaving their body, you know? And so it's important just to not have like super dualistic black and white, light and dark thinking. Like, everything is really very gray. It's really very nonlinear. Of course, you don't have the same relationship dynamic that you did when they were in a body. Mm-hmm. But it can still be honored. They're still there, you know, that place at the table, you know, set an altar. I personally have an ancestor altar up year round, and I keep a fresh glass of water on it, and I'll put, especially around like certain holidays or whatever, like special little like snacks or treats or offerings. You know, some people like to smoke cigarettes, so having their favorite brand of cigarette, or you know, photos of them, or you know, a bullet if they were a veteran, or some kind of memento, like a piece of jewelry of theirs, or a lock of their hair, or something like that. It's important to know that you're never alone. And cultivating that awareness and like action within that awareness of like, yeah, I'm never alone. And just like, you know, if there was people in your house with you, you wouldn't be ignoring them all the time.
True.
You know, like you would be paying attention, and there's some level of interaction, and you can still do that even when they don't have a body.
I love that. And then, you know, as we're wrapping things up, can you share a personal experience or anecdote about a particular magical or transformative holiday celebration?
Yes, sure. So one of my favorite things is to actually cut down our own tree. And you can do it by yourself or with your partner or your whole family. It's nice to get like the whole group involved. And everybody go out to some, you know, tree farm or just in the forest. It depends on what you have accessible to you. And, you know, feel for the tree. Put the intention that, like, you know, for the tree to kind of like telepathically connect with you, you know. And as you're wandering around, you know, you'll find a tree that resonates with you, and you feel it in your heart. And you're just like, yes, this is the tree. And gather around, hold hands, maybe like sing to the tree, or let it know, you know, thank you for being our Christmas tree, and encourage the, you know, you can make offerings to the spirit of the tree, encourage the spirit to go down into the roots, into the ground, because it can actually be traumatizing and affect the vibration, the energy of your tree, if you just were to let go and like hack it down,
right,
you know? And so a lot of the ones that you'll get at like the, just the tree stand places in the city or whatever, they're kind of energetically heavy, and the tree will also live longer. You know, if you won't have as many dry needles on the floor and all that stuff, it tends to like stay preserved longer. So yeah, making it kind of like a ceremony or ritual, and then cutting the tree down and bringing it home, and just the whole experience of putting on music and decking the halls and decorating it and bringing the, just kind of that spirit of nature inside the house. Yeah.
And with you saying bringing in the intention as you're cutting it down and, you know, connecting with that living thing, you know, with a tree, that's also something that I think people don't recognize when gardening or picking flowers and things like that, setting that intention as well. And so that's something that I do when I like, you know, pick flowers or things. I give my thanks. I talk to the plants, or if it's, you know, if you have a garden and, you know, you're picking a tomato, you know, because then you still have that living aspect of that fruit, that vegetable, that flower, the tree. And so, like you said, it tends to live longer, and, you know, there is that lighter energy. So yes.
Right. And if you think about that idea of like an energetic exchange, you know, like people think of animals as being, you know, it's cruel to slaughter animals for our food or whatever. And it's also kind of cruel to not have that intention with the plants, because it can like create, like the food won't last as long. It might give you a bellyache. It's not going to be as like energetically juicy, you know, without that.
Right.
So like every time I'm trimming even just my house plants, like, cause they have a dead leaf or whatever, I'm like, oh, you're beautiful, and I'm just going to take this here. Thank you.
Right.
And, you know, like, or, oh, this just needs to be turned into like, I'll just root it in this jar over here. You did great making this little baby, you know, like they're people too.
Right. Right. I mean, they're alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plants are giving us
giving their life so that you can sustain.
Right.
Them.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that is lovely. Thank you so much, Morgan, for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, like Marlena said. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on this episode of A Witch, A Mystic, and A Feminist. Go check out our website, wmfpod.com, for all our past episodes, to connect with us. And then wherever you are listening to this podcast, we would very much appreciate if you could like, subscribe, rate. We really like those 5-star reviews. So we just really appreciate the support. And we will see you next week.